the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, number 75, / Daniel Fast Encouragement, message number 11. Please turn in your Bibles once again to Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. We have a lot of people today, even in the church, who have a whole lot of knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but they do not have understanding. Did you know that you can read a book or listen to a book on Audible, but if you don't understand what the author is saying, it will not benefit you? And he understood the thing. We have a lot of folk today who have a whole lot of knowledge, but they do not pray to God, and they don't get God's wisdom and understanding. And it is a tragedy. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Do not be a person who lacks understanding. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to see another day under the sun. As long as we have you wherever we are a blessed people. And so, Holy Father God, we do praise you and we thank you for the yesterdays and yesterday's blessings, which we stand on today. Help us never to forget. And we praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your everlasting love, your long-suffering, and your grace. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us. And so, Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of all of our sins, all unrighteousness and all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit at times. Lord God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, your Holy Son, because of his precious blood that was shed for our sins, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, we know that you don't want us to only seek forgiveness, but you want us to repent. So grant us, Lord, your grace, your strength, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to repent and to turn from our wicked ways. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to serve you well today, to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right. And grant us fresh anointing and unction of your Holy Spirit to preach and to hear and to do your holy word. We pray, Holy Father God, that you would continue to open up doors that no man can shut. Pave the way for us. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this place and from your people, bless and protect us from the demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and protect us from the attacks of the devil and his demons and his hosts. We pray that everything would go smoothly in this service and for the remainder of this day. Bring to our minds and to our remembrances exactly what you want us to do and say. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves, to turn even from the sin and such sins that have eased their way into our Christian lives and now they have become acceptable, such as the sin of gluttony, which is the root of many of our health problems in the church today. Lord, deliver us from the sin of gluttony. Forgive us of that sin. Break that band of wickedness in our lives through fasting and prayer and through knowledge and understanding. And help us to truly repent, to stop overindulging in that area and in all areas of our lives. And help us to begin to indulge in knowing you and loving you back and trusting you and fearing you and obeying you. We cast all of our cares upon you because we know that you care for us. Receive all glory, praise, and honor to your name. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved by the power of your holy gospel being preached. And by the power of your Holy Spirit. Again, thank you for what you've done for us throughout this past week and all that you've done. We give you the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. The great missionary David Livingstone, I had the privilege of seeing the place he was buried at Westminster Abbey. Well, at least there's a marker there for him. He said fastings and vigils, prayer vigils, without a special object in view are time run to waste. Spoken like a true missionary, a true evangelist. In this series, beloved, we have looked at the following ways in which we ought to follow Daniel's example during the Daniel fast. Number one, we looked at studying the scriptures, reading the scriptures, obeying the scriptures. Number two, confessing our sins. Number three, repenting of our sins. Two different things. Number four, spending more time in prayer while fasting. Number five, withdrawing from worldly pleasures and worldly people. In our last message, we looked at an earlier iteration of the Daniel fast, one in which Daniel and three of his fellow exiles abstained from the king's meat and the king's wine for a period of 10 days. That's another Daniel's fast, by the way. There was something special about these, if you will, Hebrew boys. They were brought up well. They knew their God. During that time, they ate only fruits and vegetables and drank only water, no wine. As a result, the Bible says their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And don't be surprised at this, because that happens even to this day. People who fast, or people who just eat vegetables and fruits, their skin glows compared to most people. It appears fairer and fatter. This verse tells us some of the physical benefits of fasting. However, keep in mind that Daniel and his friend were fasting for spiritual reasons. They fasted because they did not want to defile themselves or dishonor God by eating of food that had been sacrificed unto idols or that had not been completely drained of blood. The physical benefits were a byproduct, but they are still important. The blessing of fasting is both spiritual and physical. There's no doubt about that. There's no argument about that. The Hebrew word translated as fairer means good or goodly, ruddy, flush. The blood is getting to all of the points of the body. Beautiful. Clearer. Bountiful. Rich. Prosperous. Or pleasant. And we all know this to be true. These words give us the sense that Daniel did not look skinny or sickly because of his special fasting diet. He looked well-fed and healthy. And if you do the Daniel fast, Danae, properly and right, you will look well-fed and healthy. And fairer and fatter, but fat in the good sense, not the bad sense. In other words, looking healthy and strong and robust. The Hebrew word translated as fatter means fleshed out, similar to the PHAT fat that came out some years ago out of the hip-hop community. Fat in the sense that she is fine, or she looks good. Fleshed out, well proportioned, fed or well fed or plenteous. After 10 days of eating plant-based food and drinking water, Daniel looked better than the exiles who had eaten the rich meats and drank the wine of the king. That ought to tell you something. According to Dr. Razin Maruf of Oxford University, during fasting, a detoxification process occurs, causing toxins stored in the body's fat to dissolve and be removed from the body. He also notes that after a few days of fasting, higher levels of endorphins, the so-called feel-good hormones, are produced in the blood, which can have a positive impact on mental well-being. Daniel and his friends not only looked better, but they were more energetic, alert, and ready to apply themselves to their new educational rigors. These are some of the physical benefits that await us during a Daniel fast, such as the one we are on right now, as well as if we continue a lifestyle, if you will, of intermittent fasting over a long period of time afterwards. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the blessing to be able to participate in the Daniel fast. And we pray that you will help us to grow spiritually and to be healed physically. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit as we have just completed, according to my count, 21 days. We're halfway there. And if it be your will, we may stretch it out to 42 so it can be a complete double Daniel fast. And Lord, I know that I feel better, and I know that I look better, and I thank you for that. And I hope others are experiencing the same thing. I hope that they're not struggling with certain things. And Lord, I thank you for putting in my heart for the first time to make this change permanent, to keep on keeping on, because I'm sick or anything. I thank you for showing me ahead of time that this is important, and repenting of gluttony and overindulging is necessary and needs to be done, and others as well need to be challenged in the church, because in the church too many of us are obese, too many of us are overweight, and too many of us eat too much. Lord, break the band of wickedness and sin in our lives and give us sweet victory over ourselves, for our greatest enemy is ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Save that soul that is near as hell. Amen. Now, beloved, a few practical steps, practical information regarding the Daniel fast, as is my custom in this series. This information comes from the Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life, by Dr. Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. The book guides readers to take the Daniel fast diet and continue it, basically, as a lifestyle. The first time I heard of hummus was through this book, The Daniel Plan. I looked at it in the store and I said, "What in the world is this?" I bought some and now I have it with my salad. It's a beautiful thing. The authors write in the Daniel Plan, how many of us have ever considered that food can heal? This is the biggest scientific discovery since the germ theory of disease and antibiotics. Food is medicine. Food is the most powerful drug on the planet. So eat some, but don't eat too much. I'm adding that. It can improve the expression of thousands of genes, balance dozens of hormones, and optimize tens of thousands of protein networks. That is, protein networks. It can cure most chronic diseases, and it works faster, better, and cheaper than any drug, and all the side effects are good and none are bad. And that's a good deal. That's better than most of these medications we hear about on television. Wouldn't you agree? They give glowing thoughts and ideas about a certain medicine. And then at the end, they lower their voice and talk real fast. This medicine can make you take a knife and stab your neck. This medicine will make you lose your mind. This medicine will make you slap your wife. This medicine will give you suicidal thoughts. Boy, but food is not like that. Amen, somebody. So we need to eat whole foods. Whole foods. Not junk. Not half foods. Like the foods that most of us eat. Made and take. Half foods are when people take natural whole food and then they make something else out of it. That's half food, if half. And then they put a whole lot of other stuff in it so that it can last a long time on the shelf until you go in there and buy it. God wants us to eat whole foods. Not all of the junk we normally eat that's packaged up, made in a factory somewhere. Somebody said, only eat foods that come from a plant, not foods that are made in a plant. Amen, somebody. Food contains messages, instructions, and information that tell your body what to do every moment to increase vitality or create disease. Every bite you take is a powerful opportunity to create healing or infirmity. Real whole food that comes from the earth, food that was created by God, amen, somebody, foods like that heal, while industrial processed food created in factories by man harms our bodies. And that stands to reason, since men are sinners, we're going to make sinful stuff that's not good for us. And because we are sinners, we like consuming that sinful stuff, that stupid stuff. All of us would rather have a Big Mac over some romaine lettuce and some hummus and onions and tomatoes. We'll say, I'll get my salad inside that Big Mac. That Big Mac has some lettuce and some tomatoes or something in it. I'll eat it like that. But that Big Mac has a whole lot of other stuff that if you leave it on the counter, you'll see some of it come out of that Big Mac. Unfortunately, many of us don't eat food anymore. We eat factory-made, industrially produced food-like substances. This should make us stop and think. Should we really be putting that stuff into our bodies? Stop and think. We're not talking about anything revolutionary here, people. It took you 20 years or so to get to 400. It's going to take you a while to get to 200. But as somebody said many, many years ago, the first step is the beginning of a long journey or something to that effect. And you have to make that first step. And One of the steps you need to make is to stop eating for a while. By doing the Daniel fast or some other fast. And then from that point on, change your diet. Or you may die sooner than what you think, or sooner than what you should. Stop eating the junk. I love Chick-fil-A more than you will ever love it. But we can't eat Chick-fil-A for lunch every day. And they even know that. Now in this series, beloved, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies in the way that God has intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your eternal soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die, and so will I. We all will die one day. And the only thing that will matter is the condition of our soul. Is your soul saved? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world? What a thought. One of the most powerful, if not the most powerful thought in the world. Most powerful idea in the world. The most powerful fact in the world. Jesus Christ, sent by God, the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, who shed his blood on the cross, his pure and holy blood, God dying for man. What kind of love is this? The Lamb of God, once and for all, taking away the sins of the world so that you and I can go free. You and I can avoid going to hell, which we deserve, and go to heaven, which we do not deserve. Ladies and gentlemen, is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and make it so that you have peace with God, and ensure that you do not perish in that awful place called hell. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, a dear friend, as your personal Savior, here's how you can trust him as your Savior today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, an eternal penalty, an eternal punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, we die spiritually because of sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that is terrible news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall we pray? Are you ready to pray and ask God to save your soul by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart? I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Just repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old life and to do your will, and to follow you on into eternity. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.